Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, this is She, and I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Tonight we are connecting to the art of dreaming and the culture of storytelling and how we can engage our mind's eye to imagine what our relationship was intended to be with Mother Nature and how she has so much to communicate. And when we look at different indigenous cultures, their traditions are typically told through storytelling. They're passed down as oral teachings from father to child, mother to child, grandfather to children. And these teachings are a way of learning and reflecting on life. And even though you might hear a story several times over, it can take on a whole new perspective as you dive deeper into it and as you experience life. So sometimes we first meet something and we think, wow, that's what this means, or that's what this means to me. And it's not till later you're like, wow, okay, I get that on a much different level. So as we connect to the storyteller tonight, we are going to explore a couple traditions and new ways of celebrating the winter season. And these are all just inspirations because our cultures have been more than not removed from the way that we were potentially intended to harmonize with planet Earth. And so it is my hope that maybe if we have some seeds of inspiration, we can start to think and remember how we would like to cultivate the culture of storytelling, cultivate cultures within community, and rather than just replicate and repeat things that are taken out of communities that either are still existing or finding their way through their own metamorphosis, it might be really inspiring to start to create something that is meaningful to your own life and see what happens and see what's revealed. So with that being said, I would love for you to connect right now to Elisaveta. She is a beautiful being, definitely from the stars. And we're going to listen to this song called Storyteller. And as you listen to the song of the storyteller, think about the stories that you've loved. Think about the memories you have of being told a story. And then when we come back, we'll hear a few short excerpts out of a couple books I've chosen for this evening. I don't know when it stopped being appropriate for our parents to read us books. However, I know that my children still crave being read to or a story being shared with them, hence a significant part of our way of being and connecting with one another. So as you connect with Elisaveta, storyteller, think about the stories you've heard, the stories you love to tell, the stories that you would like to imagine and share with others. And then we'll come back and we'll connect with a few words of wisdom to contemplate.
Islands where statues touch the sky. I'm stuck upon your words, so picturesque, it almost hurts to think that I will ever pass us by. Cause it's your face like a light, your face shining bright.
Yeah, you are my storyteller. So I hope, she hopes that during that segment you were to connect and remember a story that you love to hear, a story that you love to tell, and imagine maybe some of the stories you would like to create in the future. Those qualities of imagination to create stories just out of nowhere actually feed ideas and inspiration. If you've ever thought of, oh, I have the greatest idea, and then maybe just down the street you see it manifest and you had a deep attachment that you were to bring it to reality. However, sometimes these inspirations and these ideas are seeds that are already thought consciousness out there, or maybe you were meant to just seed out that imagination and someone else picks up that idea and runs with it. It's a give and take, and know that, or giving and receiving, I should say, better than take, is that when we go through this process of inspiration, imagination, things start to expand and be revealed to us. It's when we become really firm in our knowing of what we think we know that we sometimes don't allow ourselves to have new things be shared with us. So with that being said, I have a book that I just received by a beautiful artist, Teresa Morehouse, and she is sharing some stories, soul stories, narrative sculpture, She works with metal. And this book, which I'll just read out of it, and I'm going to read an excerpt out of it, is Teresa's Morehouse Narrative Sculpture, Tell Deep, Often Timeless Stories in Cast Bronze, patinas of copper, silver, or gold. Some drawn their inspiration from traditional myths or legends. Others discover new voices for contemporary experience of spiritual mysteries. Her images weave a meticulous language of symbols that surpass logic and speaks directly to intuition and spirit. Soul Stories elegantly displays 39 of the artistic favorite works in cast bronze. Her brief narratives companion the photographs to lead us by the hand into each sculpture's magical world. And isn't this what stories are often about, that we are led into a story by descriptions, by words, by visions that sometimes are only held in the imagination? And in this instance, she's providing a beautiful image, and then giving some little glimpses into it. So in the future, we'll be having an interview with her, but I thought tonight this might inspire some of you to start to think about the story you're creating. Oftentimes, this happens in music. This happens in art. This just happens in so many different expressions of life. And when we get to the root of what we're expressing, it begins to have deeper legs. And as I mentioned yesterday, is that the preservation of culture, the preservation of art, is actually our imprint that we leave behind. It's the story we leave behind. And somewhere I feel there's been a degradation of the imprint of our culture because it's been consumed with consumption. It's been consumed with mass production, and it's been consumed with quantity, not quality. So let's just allow that to drift and enter the kiss. In relating to one another, we are not meant to become one, but to individuate and each stand as a witness to the other. And this beautiful image is of this kind of abstract cubist quality. And it's just a beautiful way for you to enter her work and allow your mind to wander. And I'm going to read one more, the follow time. And it's a beautiful tree here. The tree of life stands rooted in our past and the past that came before us, with its vine weaving throughout layered time. Its nature is carried in seasons, a designated time for everything to come into beginning. But what about when it feels inside like nothing's happening? A deadness reigns. The old ones tell us that when you think nothing is happening, something is happening. Our future is in its seedling state. Those two companions of expectation and hope are having a contest, a negotiation, but nothing has been shared with us. We can only speculate, but now are too empty for conjecture. Grant me patience to endure this waiting with no ideas to feast upon. And that's a beautiful passage for right now, a time of winter and a time where we can feel the anticipation. However, we can also allow it to be and also allow it to let things lift off. So before we dive deeper into two more segments, one will be a passage from the second book of the Tao by Stephen Mitchell, and then a little discourse on one of the well-known storytellers, shining a light on the Book of Hopi by Frank Water. We'll dive in there. What we're going to do to honor if you're in the Northern Hemisphere right now, we're going to listen to one more of Elisaveta's song. It's called Orion. This is very symbolic of what is seen through the Kivas out at Hopi right now. They can see Orion, and his belt is a mirror of the three mesas that exist there today. That is another great story to share and a podcast that we've done in the past. But for now, allow yourself to imagine what the stars reflect, what the cosmology reflects in the universe, and what we can learn from connecting and imagining the stories and creating new stories. I had a friend tell me that he didn't want to learn the astronomy as it's recorded, that he wanted to make up his own stories about what it was. And I thought that was so beautiful because maybe he would get to higher truths or deeper truths of what they were communicating rather than just memorizing what's been said or recorded and who recorded it. So I think it's beautiful to think of things a little bit out of the box, stand on your head and look at it differently. As we think about those and the stars, just sit back, relax. If you can, look out at the sky right now and see what's happening out there. Allow your imagination to reflect to the stars above and connect to the earth below.
Is a question to what I couldn't say. I see it in your tension.
I let it slip away.
I know I never told you. I should have done it then. I could have tried to hold you. Instead I turned and ran. Did you know that I was dying?
Looking up to the sky, a great place to connect to the Orion right now as it's in our winter sky, and also just to connect to the stars and see what they communicate as you connect to them, just the same way when we connect to Earth and Mother Nature, the nature starts to have a life and communicates with you. Sometimes it may feel silly to communicate with the Earth because you haven't been raised this way, and some people may frown upon it. However, if you're inspired to, try it out. And if you're not, that's okay too. You might just want to lay down on the Earth, stare at the sky, and imagine a story that you would like to share and see what happens. Write it down, share it, and then note what happens from there, where that story takes you. Some of my kids' best memories were when we drove through Spain and we would make up stories about words. One was, who put the Tom in tomato? And we just played and have fun with all these words and giggled and laughed. And sometimes that is the greatest gift just in that moment. We right now are going to dive into a little bit of contemplative storytelling. It is from the second book of the Tao by Stephen Mitchell. This is a beautiful book. It's really nice just to have around. You can read a page, and then there's commentary. So I'm going to go to page 17, if any of you have it and want to pull it out afterwards, or if you get it and want to pull it out. Birth and death, profit and loss, success and failure, health and sickness. These qualities, the world, in its constant transformation, day in and day out, they vanish into each other before our very eyes, and we don't know where they come from. The master maintains his balance, whichever opposite he enters. He lets things go through their changes and stays focused on what is real. He is like the ocean. Through there are waves on its surface. In its depth, there is perfect calm. And the commentary on this is, when can they come from? Where can they come from? These bookend qualities, but the projecting mind. The master is born, he dies, he makes money, he loses money. People love him, they don't. He has the flu, he's better. Amid the transformations of the apparent world, his mind simply observes, curious what will come next, knowing that when we try to grasp anything, it vanishes before our very eyes, as do our very eyes. All this ungraspability is cause for rejoicing. It's the greatest show on earth, mind realizing its own nature. There's nothing there, and the nothing is beautiful. So, of course, the master moves through his life with no problems, saying his yeses and his noes, with equal amusement, simultaneously waving hello, goodbye. So, something just to consider, and is very timely, as I've been working through some physical throat and lung releases, and really it is the attachment, especially when we're in turbulent times, to try to want to regain or be somewhere where we're not. And what we can realize is that within these stories that we tell, within these stories that we hold on to, that if sometimes we can just be with what's happening with us, that actually that we're not enjoying might finally leave and not have to revisit. So at this point, it's kind of fun to remember those stories that you never want to relive, the story that you maybe were a part of in your life, and to think about, how do I not want to ever co-create that story again? And so to be mindful of the stories you imagine, and to think about our history and the stories that we've recreated over and over again, and have we learned anything? Or are we going to continue to create that law, those laws of impermanence, samsara, suffering, as it's taught in some Buddhist texts? So now we're going to segue to Hopi land, Hopi Nation. It is a different place on this planet. in the sense that one of a dear friend of mine out there said that as we sat out under the stars and saw this beautiful fireball shoot through the sky, he points to the Big Dipper and he says, it always just stays there. Sometimes it turns upside down, but it never moves. So you know when you observe that and feel that, that there's something different about this place. It's been a place that's been under scrutiny. It's been a place that's been coveted. It's been a place that's been invaded. And it has those polarities there within its community, outside of the community, trying to be a part of it and want to know about it. And tonight I came across this beautiful quote that a Hopi shared. And he said, in describing the Hopi way, material things do not last forever. Spiritual things are eternal. And I thought, wow, you know, so many times we'll quote things. I try not to quote things, but I am right now. But we'll quote things or share things that impact us. However, they're just slivers. We might be attracted to different cultures and ideas and concepts. However, we might just grab a little piece. And then if we realize maybe what the true essence of a culture was or is, that we might have missed the boat. And so for many of you, you might know that the Hopi are considered the peaceful people. However, I would like to remind you that within their community, just like in the opposite side of the world, the Tibetan community, there are many societies, there are many delineations of how they believe things should be done. However, what I always find interesting is they still come together. They still come together for ceremony. Even sometimes when there are differences and they're mad at one another, something happens there. And so for those people out there that have a Hopi heart, I really encourage you to think about that simplicity, especially this time of year, and imagine what that means. Material things do not last forever. Spiritual things are eternal. And this might be a very important key, a gateway for us all. As most indigenous tribes and communities, stories they pass down are about honoring the earth, honoring what's given, and living a simple life. Another interview that will be coming out later this week, it shares the same sentiment. So it's consistent over and over and over again. So it's truly a choice of the path we want to choose. However, the temptation is pretty big out there, and the justifications are pretty big. So as we reflect on the Hopi, you might want to imagine what that means for you and how or if you would like to bridge back to deepening an experience with the spirit within you and how you relate to the earth, how you imagined it with the earth. And if you say, well, that's not allowed within my faith system, I will ask you why, because we are on a ball spinning through space very fast and we don't fall off. I have a lot of reverence for Mother Earth and being able to stand here and the unseen and the things that are not explainable to anyone unless they're there experiencing them with me or other people. So think about what you're thankful for having on this earth. And if your belief system leads it beyond the physical earth, that's okay. But connect, think about it, and see how it changes your relationship and changes the stories that you've heard, and maybe imagine some new ones. So in closing today, you know, I just wanted to kind of share these stories, share some of these things, these opportunities to connect to storytelling and see that how they activate us and connect us with storytelling. The last book I would like to shine a light on tonight is The Book of Hopi by Frank Waters. He spent a lot of times out there. He has another book called Pumpkin Seed Point, which is a beautiful book. And it's a beautiful accountment of what's gone on out there. And I think if you have an interest and you really want to know more about their culture, do yourself a favor to get educated. There are several people that have written some books that do have information. And then also remember that, you know, if you're called to be there, you will be. And for me, the storytellers that come with Hopi are the Kachinas. And each Kachina has a different story to share, a different wisdom. And rather, this summer when I was out there, people wanted to know, what does this one mean? And what does this one mean? And I had to reflect for a moment. I'm like, I don't know, because each time I've been taken there specifically to be taught something specific, and that story was told to me. So allow the story to unfold in any culture, in any place in the world. See where you're drawn, see where you're inspired, and see where it takes you and what's revealed. So if you are inspired, connect to some of Frank Water's work, connect storytellers, connect to the offerings that the Hopi have to mirror to us, and the polarities that exist there, from the traditionalists to the progressives to the middle path, and why that's there. And then you can arrive at your own conclusions. So we're going to sign out tonight. And being that the Hopi hold the rain sacred, and another beautiful thing I heard today was that rain does not mean a gloomy day. It's a joyous day. So we're going to close out with a song called Rain Dance. It's from a group down in Africa, and I love it because it's a time of celebration. So as you exit out tonight, take some time to get up, move a little, imagine what you want your next to be. And if you have any ideas, inspiration, or feedback, please feel free to send me an email at suzannetoro@gmail.com. or give me a call, and we can connect from there. Until next time, this is She signing out with a deep bow, a soft gaze, full heart, and a namaste.
My shoes.